Let's raise it together. Say, I'll be seated at your feet. That's where you want me. So that's where I'll be, right
here at your feet
forever. Somebody tell him I'll be seated here. I'm always here to worship.
God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody just determined you're going to stay at the feet of Jesus, I dare you right now, as you're hearing the sound of my voice, to just bow before the King. Lay prostrate before your King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a blessing at laying at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. For some of us, this place is what we call home. We can't get too far from this place because, hallelujah, this is where we must remain. Hallelujah. The Bible speaks of those that bow at the feet. The 24 elders, they bow at the feet of the throne of God. Hallelujah. And that's where they remain. They constantly bow before the King because of his glory, his majesty, his power. Hallelujah. And as we bow before the feet of Jesus, be prized where he will lay at your feet. Hallelujah. He will give glory to be placed at your feet or under your feet. Hallelujah. Romans 16:20 says, and shortly shall the God of peace bruise Satan under your feet. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you. Your word says, beautiful are the feet of them that bring good tidings. Lord, we know that no one has brought a better message than the message you have brought. Not only did you speak a good message, you were the message. You lived the message. And Father, for that, we are grateful. We are grateful for the Son of God. We are grateful for his life. And Lord, it is an honor and a privilege that we can imitate him in any capacity. We are to be imitators of Christ. Hallelujah, Lord. Don't let us be cheap imitations, but Lord, forge us and make us to bear the image of your Holy Son. Father, wherever we have strayed, wherever we have erred from you, wherever we've lost our connection or we've pulled back away from you, Lord God, draw us in once again today. Bring us out of the mind of the flesh. We lay all pride, all error, all ego, all self-centered ways, all focus of self at the altar at your feet. We lay all accomplishments, all greatness, all desire at your feet. We lay all anger, bitterness, wrath, and malice at your feet, all religion at your feet, and we won't pick it back up. But, Lord, when you raise us up, you will clothe us in your garments of righteousness. Father, we thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb that gives us access to the holy place called your throne room. And there we can ask you things and you will deliver. But Father, the longer we stay there, the less we desire, the less we care, the less we ask for, and the more we just seek to bask in your glory. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the presence of God. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit even now. And we ask that you have your right of way and speak through me, your servant. Let not me err to the right nor to the left, but, Father, straight down the middle where Christ is. Let our eyes be centered on him. Let our ears be attentive to the revelatory word of God. In the eternal realm of the word of God, that you will speak to hearts. Lord, that you will knit our hearts together with you in love. And Father, you will remove all unrighteous cause. You will deliver us from all false ways. Hallelujah. We thank you for the demonstration of the Spirit's power. But excellency of the power is of God and not of man. So, Father, we are decreasing, you are increasing. Hallelujah. Fill the temple. By the temple, I mean us. Our bodies are your temple. For your word declares that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We bind Satan. We bind every demonic force that is operating in the airwaves, that is against this broadcast, that is against the coming forth of your word. We bind every evil hindering spirit and distracting spirit that will come. We bind the twisting spirit that will twist the word and the understanding of the word, and we loose good understanding and clarity and hearing ears. But above that, we loose hearts of flesh, Lord God, upon the people of God, that your word will be etched into our soft hearts and that it not be stony hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, I praise you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to say I'm not going to be before you long, because anytime I say that, it ends up being a very long message. So I'm going to just deliver this word, and whoever has ears to hear, God will speak to you what he wants you to hear, how he wants you to hear it, and just ask your own mind to move out of the way and say, Spirit, feed me the mind of Christ. Holy Spirit, feed me the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Whenever you come on these lines, you need to know you're not receiving from a man. You have to understand there are those who are God sent, and when they are God sent, then they are speaking from the Spirit of God to your spirit. And when God is speaking, then you're not receiving from a man, you're receiving through a man. Okay? Just like a pencil doesn't write a letter, a person writes a letter with a pencil. Paul says, and David wrote in the Psalms, I am the pen in the hand of a ready writer. So God is the one that is bringing forth his word. We are just vessels. We're going to pass away one day, or we're going to change over and be taken into heaven. But one thing is, the word of God is going to remain. Hallelujah. The Lord wants me to speak today to his people concerning his everlasting word. That's all I've been hearing in my spirit echoing today. The everlasting word of God. Now, I had another message prepared for today, but that wasn't the word that God wants to put in your spirit. Mm-mm. He wants you to know the character of his everlasting word. Hallelujah. And this may go on into a couple of weeks. Only God knows. There's so much meat in this that I don't see how I can deliver it in one day. There's so much revelation that he's fed me that I've got to make sure I don't overdo it. So I just want to take my time and teach and flow in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, I submit myself even more to you. Have your way. Speak to these sheep, to these lambs. You said, if you love me, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. That means the young and the old, we all got to eat the word. Hallelujah. The word of God is everlasting. Okay, we need to understand that the word of God is everlasting. And we have to be careful in a time that we live in that we don't get away from the word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 15, you can read that whole chapter on your own time. I'm not going to read verbatim all these scriptures because there's too many places that I've highlighted, but I'm going to verbatim read a few. But some of them I'm going to paraphrase for the sake of time, and you just take notes, write down where they are, and study these things to see if they be so for your own self. The Bible speaks of a group of people in the book of Acts chapter 17, round about verse 11. They're called the Bereans, and the Bible says they were more honorable than the other people because they gladly received the word with eagerness, okay, all readiness. They were ready to receive the word of God. But then it says they also searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. So what made them honorable was not just their searching of the scriptures, but their receiving of the word gladly, and then searching the scriptures. So we have to recognize the voice of the Lord and who he speaks in this hour, and receive the word, but not only receive it, because we don't want to get caught up in flesh or in man, but after you receive the word, go back and study. They weren't searching the scriptures only. See, the Pharisees searched the scriptures, and they always challenged who God sent. They challenged the Son of God. God sent Jesus to them, and they challenged him because of what they thought they knew, because they searched the scriptures. But they did not gladly receive the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. So now, none of us compare to Jesus, but Jesus says, as my Father sent me, so I send you. And all of our missions are different. Some of us he sends to the marketplace. Some of us he sends to the church. Some of us he's going to send you to your family members or to the streets. But everybody's got some kind of mission. If God is speaking to you, then he's sending you somewhere. Now, if you ain't heard him, you don't go anywhere. You sit and you receive, because it's not time to go until he's told you what he's wanting you to say, who he's wanting you to say it to, or what he wants you to do and how he wants you to do it. Just be still and let God be God. Jesus was not in any hurry to start his ministry. In fact, his mother came to him and said, they ran out of wine. And Jesus says, it has nothing to do with me. I'm paraphrasing. He says to her, my time is not yet come. In other words, I'm not in a hurry to jump out and try to start ministry. But because she pressed him through faith, he started. And he never looked back. So once you start, you can't look back. That's the key. When you put your hand to the plow, you can't look back. You got to keep moving in the things of God. But God will give you what you need by his word. The word is eternal. Eternal. The word is eternal. Sometimes we have to sit and at his feet and allow him to feed us of his everlasting word. Okay? Because the word is going to produce in you what you need. The word is going to produce in you what you need. Now, help me, Holy Ghost, because there's so much meat, and I want to break it down to smaller elements that we can all taste of this word and not, you know, choke on anything. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 119. It's the longest chapter in the entire Bible. It's over 150 verses in there. Okay. Verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." So the word of God is settled in heaven forever. Understand something. God is eternal. Okay? Heaven and earth had a beginning date. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God was before the creation of heaven and earth. The Bible says, Jesus says that in Mark chapter 13, in Matthew 24, also in Luke chapter 21, he says the same statement over and over. He says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now, I know I mentioned John 15 a minute ago, and I kind of veered off, but I have to stay in the flow. But the Holy Spirit knows what he wants us to hear, and he'll bring it back to your memory if it's needed to be said. So John chapter 15, Jesus said, "Abide in me." That means dwell, stay, lay at his feet, stay connected, spend quality time with him. He says, "Abide in me." That's intimacy, it's relationship, oneness. He says, "And my words abide in you." He says, "Then you will ask what you will, and it will be done unto you." The greater levels of faith come by the word of God. He said, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, the reason a lot of people's faith is stale or is not faith at all is because we're not hearing. There's one thing to hear God, then there's another thing to be hearing God. Hearing means a continual, like a river flows continually. It's constantly moving. The Holy Ghost is a flow. Preaching is a flow. If you can be taught how to preach, you're not God's preacher. You can't be taught how to preach. It's a flow. You get in the flow, and the flow gets in you. And you open your mouth wide, and God begins to speak through you. That's preaching of the gospel. Now, he says the word of God is forever. The word of God. He says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now watch this. The word of God is not limited to the book, but don't take and run with that. It's not limited to the book. It's limited to the word of God. Okay. Now God gave us this book for a very, very particular purpose. And this book is going to be the words in this book. Okay. So the word is forever, but God's word can be delivered to you through a messenger as well. Okay? Now, if you find yourself in a conflict between the messenger and the book, always trust the book. Okay? Because the messengers live and die. But this book has outlived us all for generations. They've attacked it. They've tried to change it. They tried to do all kind of things. All kind of blood was shed for the book. You got to get the right version of the book. I know some people say it don't matter, but in time we're going to find out it do matter. You know, the scriptures speak of those who who are beheaded in the end times in the book of Revelation. It says for their testimony of Jesus and for the word of God. People are going to die for the word. Now, there's man's version of the word, and then there's God's version of the word. So in time, we're going to find out what's what. We're going to know what's what. And this is why it behooves us to be in preparation now, hearing the word now. Watch this. He says, forever your word is settled in heaven. So the word is settled in heaven because God is in heaven. Okay? It's forever settled in heaven. He didn't say heaven is forever. He said the word is forever settled. Okay? But we know that heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will not pass away. Okay? The word of God is forever. And I just keep hearing the words, the eternal realm or the eternal dimension of the word of God. That means when God takes you beyond what we deal with the word mostly in the temporal things here on earth, he wants us to have a mindset that shifted the people of God because there is the eternal dimension of the word. It's a point of no return. Listen, the word of God will deal with everything. It will deal with your finances, your family, your health. It will deal with all those things. But guess what? Finances is temporary. Health is temporary because this body is temporary. Marriage is even temporary. Okay, the Bible says in the resurrection, they're not married or given in marriage. So all these, you know, family, finance, health, all that's good. The word of God is able to do miraculous things with all of the above. But the word of God is eternal. So there's some things of eternal value that are deeper than the things we deal with majority of the time. We go to church because we frustrated because our money ain't right. And we want a word about money. Nothing wrong with that. The preacher can hear from God and tell you God is going to bless you and prosper you and finances. If you sow a seed, God's going to, you know, do this and that. Well, now, some of them be lying just to get your money. And you got to have discerning to know what spirit is operating, because there is what's called the spirit of mammon. And these preachers are serving money, and they know how to preach you happy to get all your money, and then you in a cycle trying to come out of it every month. You trying to come out of poverty and think, well, if I do this, if I do that, and they tell you do it this way and you do it that way. Then they tell you do it that way and you do it this way. However they tell you do it, you're doing it, and you're still struggling with the same thing. And sometimes God says, all you need is the principles of my wisdom in your spirit, and I'll bring you out. So now, but the point I'm making is God can deal with your money. He can give you a word. God can deal with your family. He can give you a word. God can deal with your health, your body. He can give you a word. But then there are things that are deeper. There are things that are deeper than the here and now. We only hear for a small amount of time, 120 years max, okay? That's God's decree, 120 years. You're gonna remember that later because they're going to come out with some stuff talking about we can make you live a long, long, long time. Just got to do this and that and the other. And you better understand that God already said, I won't strive with man always. That's a nugget for somebody. Hallelujah. Now, things that we as the people of God will have to deal with in the word of God that we may not want to deal with because it's not popular. It's not the message that's going to make you shout your wig off, make you sweat up your nice suit. It's not the message that's going to make you feel good and hoop and holler and run all over the pews. But there are some words that we need concerning our now and our later. Glory to God. So there's things that are in this word that people don't deal with, but God wants us to know. Now, God wants us to know. Watch this. The eternal dimension of the word. The word of God brings understanding. The word of God brings understanding. There are seven spirits of God. I'm not going to go into those right now, but okay. One is called the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That means God will open your heart to perceive his word the way he wants you to perceive it. See, not the way we perceive it. That's the biggest problem in the world. We perceive the word our way, and we make a wreck of the word. But then God prescribes the word like a doctor gives you medicine. And when you put that medicine in you, it does what it do. You don't control it. Hallelujah. So God has a way he wants to prescribe his word to cause you to perceive it right. That's what, when you get the word precepts, deal with God's perception. Okay? Hallelujah. Watch this. I was praying today, and I was asking the Lord about some giftings. And the Lord began to speak to me in the church service. He began to, like, zero me in on his voice. I was listening to the preacher say some things, and I began to pray concerning it. And then all of a sudden, it was like I was zoned out. And I could hear the Lord reminding me of some things, reminding me of his word. Let me say this. The word in you should always be speaking to you. Watch this. Psalms 119, verse 105. He writes, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Watch this. I need you to listen closely and carefully. He says the word, God's word, is a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. So if the path needs light, that means you can't really see it without the light. That means you're subject to stumble without the light. Jesus said, any man walk with me or follow me, then he walks in the light and he shall not stumble. So how are we walking with Jesus? We walk with Jesus through his word by the Holy Ghost. Now, what I want to say next, and then I'm going to come back to this verse and tie it all together with what the Lord was sharing with me, and what we got to be very careful in this hour. Faith does not come by what we see. I don't care if we see it in the spirit realm. He said faith come by hearing. Watch this. Hearing is a higher level of seeing. When we get this understanding, we're going to be all right in God. Watch. Hearing is a higher level of seeing. Somebody don't believe that. Well, watch this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Okay? The same was in the beginning with God. Watch this. In the beginning. So before there was time, space, and matter, or heaven and earth, before any of the things we can tangibly deal with, be it through the spirit body or the natural body, before those things was God. And God says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, but it also was God. So watch this. Watch this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It's Genesis 1, verse 1 through 4. And then it says, And God spake and said, let there be light. And there was light. Nothing was seen until something was first heard. Which shows you there's power in the word, power in what we say. Watch this. So the word brings forth the light. In fact, in Psalms 100 and I believe chapter 139, he says, at the entrance of thy word giveth light. So light is the essence of seeing. You can't see where there's no light. You ask a blind man what he see. I don't know. It's dark. It's all dark. So darkness. In the absence of light, you cannot see. But it always goes back to the Word of God if we're going to see. So the eyes are really in the heart. Watch this. Because the ear is in the heart. When he says, if any man have ear, let him hear. He's really talking about in your heart. He's talking about your spirit. Watch this. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word is forever. The word. We've got to now develop a cultivated relationship with the Word of God. Watch this. Because there's some things got to do in the hidden places. Some things got to say in a hidden way. And you got to catch it. Watch this. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 2. He says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. We got to all know, he's talking about everybody, we got to all acknowledge there's a mystery of God. But God can clear up mysteries when we begin to develop a greater relationship with the eternal word of God. He says, the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So those that say there ain't no Trinity, he just laid it out right there. Okay? He's using the word and. God and the Father and of Christ. So that he's laying it out for you. But anyways, then he says after that, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hid, he said it's hid. So you got to seek. You got to search, or it'll remain a mystery to you until you begin to seek and dig into the treasures of the word. Some things God will reveal to you through the preacher. Some things the preacher will know, the prophet will know, but they ain't going to tell you because God ain't told them to tell you. You got to dig and search and find it. And sometimes God will give you a little nugget, a little pearl of wisdom. But some people think, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm not going to get in my flesh. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Watch this. So he says there's a mystery that must be acknowledged, but there's an end of the mystery in the eternal realm. See, we live here, time, space, and matter, but God's word transcends all that. I heard a prophet say it, and it opened my understanding so great when he said this, and I never looked at things the same since then. Hallelujah. It'll take you to a new realm. He said that Jesus' resurrection transcends time, space, and matter. That means in the law of faith, it can supersede other laws, and I'll leave it at that. That's a nugget. Hallelujah. Watch this. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So the light, the seeing, comes forth through hearing. What we see is really about perception. Seeing is nothing but perception. The mind is what really sees. The eyes bring in the light, and then it signals the mind, this is what I see. Okay, this is why even blind people can imagine something. They can see in their mind, they can dream and all those things, but they can't see on the outward. But watch this. The thing about a blind person is they got to have somebody guide them, and they're going to follow. Sometimes God don't want you to get caught up in what you see. You got to blindly follow the leader because he knows everything. In fact, Psalms 38 and 2, I believe it is, or 32 and 8, he says, I will guide you with mine eyes. So faith is more about hearing. He don't need us to be the seers all the time. Seeing is wonderful. Don't get me wrong. Seeing is wonderful. When I was a young Christian, I would see visions, and people didn't nobody know I was seeing it because I didn't rip off and run and tell everybody. I just, you know, I would see so much. And as I began to develop in my relationship with God, I noticed he would cause me to rely more on my hearing. In fact, my salvation experience started as a vision, an otherworld vision. It was clear as HD TV or whatever they call it, Blu-ray. You know, it was very clear. And it, you know, it sounds, pictures, everything, movement, everything. But what I saw did not override what I heard. I heard the voice of the Lord speak to me. As clearly as you can hear me talking audibly, he spoke. And it overrode everything else. It's something about his voice. It's something about his word. It's power in his word. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. We have to be very careful as we progress in time not to get so reliant upon our experiences. When we begin to judge God's word by our experiences, we're in danger. We should always judge our experiences by the word of God, because his word is forever settled in heaven. But heaven and earth is going to pass away. Think about that. We need to look at it this way. Heaven, God created it. It's like his home. You can build yourself a house that's bigger than you physically, and you can live in it, move around in it. But you can tear that house down and build another house. And so God speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. So in one sense, it may seem as though the heavens and those things are big, but they really can't contain God because he's spirit. So he builds himself a place, but then he says it's all going to fade away because at the end of the day, we've got to come into the eternal realm of the word of God and really begin to know God. Because, listen, prophecy is to edify, to encourage you, to even instruct you. It's not to entertain you. It's not to entertain you. There's the gift of prophecy, the word of prophecy, and the spirit of prophecy. Okay? The gift of prophecy, most people call what they call the gift of prophecy is when somebody just is used in a service and God used them to prophesy, but they're not a prophet. That's not the gift of prophecy. That's the spirit of prophecy. Jesus is in the room and he falls on them. The spirit falls on them. You can invoke a spirit. You call on the name of Jesus long enough. The Bible says, worship God. And he says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when we testify of who Jesus is, then he shows up. We didn't call on his name and invoked his presence. Then he's not going to show up and not speak. Somebody he could use from the least to the greatest. Somebody prophesy. That's the spirit of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is generally given to prophets. We always say they just got the gift of prophecy. They ain't a prophet. You got to be careful. They might be. They might be in training, learning that gift and learning what it's for. Hallelujah. So the gift of prophecy means it's a gift. God trusts you with prophecy. Prophecy is the language of God. That means God trusts you to understand what he's saying and break it down and give it to a people that they may grow by his word, the eternal word. That's prophecy, the gift of the word of prophecy is when you speak as a prophet. Either you are a prophet or you're standing in the shoes of a prophet in that moment, and thus saith the Lord. You don't have to be in a service. You could be walking down the street and God give you a word of prophecy, tell you prophesy to them. And generally, it's going to come in the form of a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. But then if God himself is speaking, then it's prophecy. Or if it's the word of God, then it's prophecy. Okay? I don't know why I went that route. I was trying to avoid dealing with that, but it just took that turn. Let me get back on point here. So what God... Somebody said, thanks, I really needed that. That was a question I was pondering. Well, God knows what you need when you come on the line. Bless you. God bless you. Watch this. Watch this. The Lord's word is eternal. God can't lie, okay? He don't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. If God told you, go to the right yesterday and then tells you go to the left today, God didn't lie to you. He just gave you a change of instruction. So whatever God says is the word of God. This is why we can't limit him to the book. But the truth of this book is going to correct your hearing. When you begin to eat, glory, the word off the pages. I'll show it to you in the book before I close this message out. When you begin to eat the word. See, the problem is people read the Bible, they don't eat the word. When we see it as bread and eat, we grow. We grow. We receive something. What happens when you eat is what you eat becomes a part of you. You know, they always say you are what you eat. That's somewhat true. I say you're becoming what you're eating. Oh, glory to God. I don't say you are what you eat. I say you're becoming what you're eating. The ing on the end of a word means something. See, for example, discerning of spirits. You very seldom hear me use the word discernment. A lot of folks with discernment, that's human. But discerning of spirits is a gift. That means God trusts you with his ability to discern continually. So it's constantly working. You don't work it. If you're trying to discern an individual, you missed it. You off. If you're trying to figure out if they of God or not, you off. Because when you got discerning of spirits, show you what spirit is talking to you at all given times. You can discern what's God and what's not God. People's discerning is usually flesh level, soul level, or demonic level. They can see when you're in the flesh. They can see souls. They can hear demons and see demons. But we begin to classify people by what was speaking or using them at one instance and not who they are. And this is why I love the way Jesus operated in the gift of discerning of spirits. Peter rebukes Jesus, and Jesus tells him, get behind me, Satan. He discerned what spirit was operating. But 5 minutes before that, Peter said to Jesus, thou art the Christ. And Jesus says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but the spirit of my Father in heaven. Jesus discerned the difference between God and Satan, and all of it was going on with the same man. But he did not call Peter the devil in the sense of, you're a devil, I ain't going to ever deal with you again. He kept him around because he saw his purpose, and he knew who he was, and he knew who God had laid his hand on and chosen, and for what purpose. When we get where our discerning is like that, where we can see a person's purpose beyond their action or their words, then we're now operating in the true gift of discerning of spirits. It ain't always about seeing devils. If that's all you see, that's not discerning of spirits. That's called an evil eye. And you need deliverance. You got a mote or a beam in your eye if all you see is the devil. We got to look past the demons and see the purpose of a person. Deal with the devil. We ain't cowards in the kingdom of God. If God tell you cast it out, cast it out. If he tell you cast it down, bind it. Whatever he tell you do, do it. If he tell you don't say nothing, don't say nothing. Because God is in control and power belongs to God. Watch this. The eternal word of God. He got me dealing with these gifts for some reason. Somebody, I guess, been needing to know. But I'm going to try to step out of that and transition back to what I was trying to, the point I was trying to make. Okay. About seeing. We have people who have experiences, and it's good that we can see in the realm of spirit visions and all these things. But we have to be careful not to get so dependent upon our ability to see that we stop hearing, that we stop eating. You know, Ezekiel saw the heavens open. He saw God on the throne, but God still made him eat a book. You can find that in Ezekiel chapter 3. God made him eat a book to put his word in him. Watch this. Now, this was before the scriptures were all compiled. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have all this experience from heaven written for us to even, you know, for them to learn from like we have. So God doesn't like spiritual laziness. We have to get in the spirit, but we also have to get in the revelation of the word of God. Watch this. He says it's eternal. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are large and in charge. Have your way. Praying, because I said, Lord, you know, I used to see this, that, and the other, and you don't deal with me like that no more. And I see these prophets, and they prophesy, and they, you know, do this, that, and the other. And I said, Lord, you don't use me like that much. And I started, you know, feeling like I needed more, this, that, and the other. And he reminded me of a conversation. And one day he said to me, just because you don't see a thing doesn't mean it's not there. And he says that when I need you to be used in this way, I'll use you. But don't focus on that. Focus on me. Say, yes, Lord. Then he reminded me in his word, Psalms 119. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm going to say that again. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the Lord brought that to my memory today because I was kind of feeling like, well, Lord, you know, you use this one that way or they that way. And then he began to give me that scripture. And the key here was my feet. My feet. In other words, God gives you his word so that your feet will not stumble. Sometimes we want the word so that we can, you know, be glamorous and shiny and light for everybody else. But God's saying, I'm giving you the word so you don't stumble. At the end of the day, it's all about seeing Jesus. Listen, he reminded me of the parable of the 10 virgins. Listen to me real good. Somebody need to hear this. The Bible speaks of they all had lamps. 10 virgins. Matthew chapter 25. I'll tell you, I'm going to paraphrase. I'm not going to read all of this. 10 virgins five were wise and five were foolish. And he says this is what the kingdom is like. So you're in one of two groups if you are a believer. If you're not a believer, then we can deal with you on the basics of salvation. Repent of your sins. Be godly sorry. Ask Jesus into your heart. Believe that God has sent his son to die for your sins and he resurrected with all power in his hand. If you believe that and confess him before men, he says you will be saved just on that. And then we deal with the other formalities of baptism and the Holy Spirit baptism and all that. But for those that are believers, because that's mainly what's on these lines, that's mainly who we're talking to, and that's who God commissions this ministry. He says, hey, you teach my people. So I know the audience is majority believers. Hallelujah. God is concerned. He said, feed my lambs. He didn't say feed the goats. He didn't say the world. So he knows who's who, and he knows who he's commissioned us to speak to. Watch this. I'm almost finished, believe it or not. He says in Matthew 25, there's five virgins that are foolish, five that are wise. So that's half and half, split straight down the middle, which leads me to believe if he says the kingdom is likened unto 10 virgins, five are foolish and five are wise, then that's 50-50. So you got a 50-50 shot of being in the light and 50-50 shot of being in the dark by your own doings. Not, it's nobody going to put you there but self. This is why he's talking to us about the importance of his word, that we don't get caught up in the you know, religion, church formalities, but we got to get caught up in the eternal word of God and let it get wrapped up in us and be a part of you. Mm-hmm. Watch this. It's bread. You got to eat. Hallelujah. Watch this. Glory to God. He says there are 10 virgins. That means they're all clean. Through faith, you're clean. That's why I just gave the Romans 10:9 version of salvation. Just by believing, you're clean. In fact, Jesus says you are cleansed through the word. So through the word, even your confession is the word of God. When you confess, I believe that Jesus raised from the dead. Well, God raised Jesus from the dead. He is the Son of God. Just by confessing that, you now are agreeing with the word of God. So that's clean. That gets you clean. That's your sins forgiven. You're washed. You're made new. You're a virgin. Or like a virgin, okay? So virgin represents clean. But then he says five were foolish, five were wise. Five took their lamps with them and had no oil, the foolish. It says they took no oil with their lamps. The other five, it says they took oil with them in their vessels, with their lamps. Okay? So what that means here is this. The lamp is the word. The lamp is the word. The oil is the Holy Ghost. Now, having the word is beautiful. It's powerful. Okay? It is. But without the Holy Ghost, you're going to run out. It's going to cut off on you. The lamp is going to go off one day without the Holy Ghost. This is what he's showing us in Matthew 25. That's what it means. It could have other meanings, but this is the meaning the Spirit has shown me multiple times over. And I looked for other meanings behind that parable, and I can't find any. Every time I read it, every time he speaks to me about it, it's the same thing. You got to have the lamp and the oil. Now, here's what you got to understand in that story. The foolish virgins come to the wise and say, give us of your oil, for ours are our lamps are going out. And they say, listen, no. Lest there not be enough for us and thee. Go to them that sell and buy for yourself. And then we know the story of the five that were wise. They went on about their way and made it to Jesus on time. The other five went back to buy some oil. Now, what you got to understand is, who are these people that were selling the oil? What does that really represent? That represents the folk that are anointed but religious. They ain't looking for Jesus. I'm going to say it again. These folks that's selling the oil represents religious folks that's anointed. He said, I pour out my spirit on all flesh. So he's generous with his spirit. But then he says, whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved or delivered. So everybody ain't calling on the name because everybody ain't looking for the king. So he says, in that story, he gives us a parable. We know parables really are telling us about something else. It's a mystery. But sometimes God want to clarify those things to bring the understanding. Because everything that was hidden is going to be exposed. God already said it. And the closer we get to Jesus' return, the closer we get to the end of time, the thinner the mystery becomes. Because God wants us to know. Because he's given us a chance. He's given us hope through his word, through his messengers, through his Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Watch this. So the five wise, I'm going somewhere with this, and then I'm going to end this. The five wise had enough oil to keep that lamp burning. They didn't just have oil. You got a lot of folk that's oily because they want you to know they can prophesy. They want you to know they can give you an accurate word. They want you to join their ministry. They want you to be up under them. They want you to whatever, give all your money to them because, you know, but they're not looking. What you got to be making sure of is if the oil is dripping, are we putting it in the lamp? And are we receiving the light? The Lord led me to this scripture in my preparation for this word. I said, well, what do you want me to say, Lord? And he began to talk to me about these things. He says, Psalms 36 and 9 says, for with thee is the fountain of life, life, L-I-F-E. In thy light, L-I-G-H-T, shall we see light, L-I-G-H-T. So here God is speaking about light, light. He always connects life to light. He wants us to see, but what we should be looking for is Jesus. That's all we need to be looking for. See, the five wise virgins, they knew I'm going to need enough anointing to keep this light burning. They wasn't just caught up in gifts. They weren't just caught up in, oh, they anointed. Mm-mm. Lucifer was once anointed. Selah. They weren't just caught up in a person having the oil. They understood the purpose of the oil is to keep the light burning bright, because the thing that God is going to show you Jesus in is his word. But it's the Holy Ghost is going to do the showing. Glory to God. Jesus says, I come in the volume of the book. So he subjects himself to the word in the book. We got to eat. Glory to God. Watch this. In a time as of today, we have to be careful, experience, and with our sight. Do you not understand that? God is in the gifts. God is the one that gives the gifts. Okay, God is in the gifts. God is in the oil. God is the one that gives the oil. In fact, he says you got to, Elisha told the widow woman, pour out. And as long as she was pouring out, then she was getting more oil from God, okay? So God is in the oil. God is in the gifts. But what we've got to make sure of is that our focus, what we're looking for is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is going to glorify Jesus. This is why this message is called, or this broadcast is called, Exalting Jesus. This is why we have to continually be reminded of who Jesus is. Why? Why does he have to glorify Jesus so much? You think we would never forget him, right? Why would it be that important that we gotta constantly have Jesus revealed to us? Why? Because there's a false Jesus out there. There's another spirit trying to get your affection. There's all kind of things that look like Jesus, but it ain't Jesus. There's what look like the body of Christ, but it ain't the body of Christ. So we've got to now come up to the head. The body's now got to come up to the head, which is Christ, the head of the church. Hallelujah. I speak by revelation. Glory be to God. Watch this. Got about two or three more minutes left, and I'm going to be done here. And I didn't do half of what I thought I was going to teach, but I'm sure there's a part two of this. Thank you, Lord God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, this is where he led me to next, chapter 12, verse 36. He says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account for in the day of judgment. Just ponder that for a minute. Jesus is talking. He's very serious. He's talking about a day of judgment. He don't specify Christian or non-Christian. He just said men. Every idle word that men shall speak, they're going to give account for it in the day of judgment. Matthew 12:36. That's very important to understand, because what he's saying to us is, if we're going to speak, we should be speaking the word of God. We should be so full of the word of God that we ain't speaking idle words. Idle means dead, okay, or lifeless, or worthless, vain, empty, void. That's what it really means. So our words should not be void, empty, idle. Mm-mm. Our words should be alive. And the only way our words are alive is if we're saying what he say. That means we got to be serious in our conversation. The Bible says be holy in all manner of conversation. Now, it takes some practice to get to that point. Ain't none of us born, with that ability. We all got to grow. And God is merciful and gracious. He gives us grace to grow, because he knows we're going to drop the ball somewhere sometimes. But he's still saying every word that's idle, we're going to have to give account for it. I don't know about you, but I know that I don't want to have to give an account for too many more. I done did enough of that in my past. So now we've got to now begin to take his word serious, put his word in us. So what's in you is what's going to come out. When you feel with his word, then now this is what brings success into your life. And you ain't got to go to church to seeking a word for money, seeking a word for healing too often, because you already got a word of healing. You know what the Bible's saying. You've been telling it to the atmosphere all day long. You just get to church and the prophet prophesy and confirm what God already done spoke in your spirit and what you done already spoke to your situation, because now you feel the word. You know, you say, by his stripes I'm healed. Isaiah 53:5 says, by his stripes I am healed. I ain't taking this sickness. And you watch it vanish off you. Then you get to church, and before the preacher even lay hands on you, he just mentioned, by his stripes you heal. You see what I'm saying? This is how God wants us to operate, through his word. Watch this. Through his word. Jesus then says in Matthew 12:37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. By your own words, you're going to be justified or condemned. That means if you speak idle words, he's going to judge you. But if you speak in his word, in agreement with his word, then he's saying that's justification. His word. So I'm going to go back to Romans 10:9 and end this. Romans 10:9, I'm not looking at it, I'm paraphrasing, but it says, if thou shalt believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that God have raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So by confessing Jesus, that's the first act of justification, by believing and confessing, by your words. That's how powerful our words are. Jesus said your words will condemn you or they will justify you. I didn't write that. Paul didn't even say it. Jesus said it. Even if Paul said it, he was God's representative, so it still was the word of God. But it's even more weight on it when it came out of the mouth of Jesus. So this word is so important. We've got to get back to the word. The reason we got to get back to the word is all experiences are not of God. All miracles are not of God. And the Bible speaks of Christ working miracles in the sight of men to deceive them. Now, I'm not saying we should go around looking at everything supernatural and putting our mouth on it, saying, that ain't of God, that's the devil. No, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Because, you know, half the time people speaking and they don't know what they're talking about. But what I'm saying is we do have to have a guarded spirit. Thank you, Lord. He led me to that one as well. I did leave a scripture out. We have to have a guarded spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number, Lord, where is it at? I believe it's verse number 9 or verse number 12. He says we have to have our loins girt about with truth. Our loins. The first thing he tells us when he tells us to put on the armor of God is to protect our loins with truth. Your loin area is where your reproduction system is at in your body, okay, the lower parts of you. That's actually verse number 14. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So the loins being girt about with truth mean you're protecting what's coming into you and what's going out of you. You're not reproducing based on lies. You're only going to reproduce based on truth. That's so important. These are the scriptures he led me to share today. Spoke them to me, heard it clearly. So this is what we've got to now put these things together and see the full picture that God is trying to draw for us. Take these notes, read it, study it, and let it live in you, and you won't have no problem living it out. If it lives in you, you don't have a problem living it out. Glory be to God. I'm done for this message. God bless those who have had ears to hear. May the Lord rest upon each of us. May he protect our families this week. I know there's been a lot of things going on in the news, the weather, you know, people doing crazy stuff and killings and things of that nature. So, Father, we just pray right now, a hedge of protection around every saint, child, every saint's sibling, every saint's parent, Lord God. We just pray right now that you would put a praying spirit in us, that we would be alerted when these things are coming, that we don't pray after the fact and try to, you know, be reactive, but we must be proactive. Put a praying spirit in us even now, Lord God. Turn the prayer wheel. Some are tired. Some are weary. But, Father, rekindle the flame through your word. And, Father, I just pray you would just heal bodies, touch minds, Lord God, and open up the miraculous to us. We need miracles, Lord God. We need true miracles, divine miracles from the heavens, from the hand of the Father, Lord God. As we lay at your feet, Lord God, you will lay miracles at our feet. You will cause deliverance to be easy, Lord God. You will cause things to flow, Lord God, just simply on the strength of us laying at your feet, worshiping you and getting to know you more. Eating of your word more. Father, I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Lord God, if there be any sick among us, at the sound of the word of God coming through my voice, I decree and declare, according to Isaiah 53:5, with his stripes ye are healed. Believe God's word. Believe his report and receive his report today. We bind all doubt. We dismantle all unbelief in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, have your way and meet every need, every financial need, Lord God. I pray now that the mindset of wealth management, that we would know how to manage things, Lord God. I pray that you would put that in every ready heart. Everyone you have purposed to have wealth in this life, Lord God, for kingdom purposes, Lord, that you would begin to give witty inventions and plans. And, Lord God, not to feed our covetousness or our greed or lust, but, Lord, that we may advance your kingdom. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We thank you, Lord God, for ready hearts that are willing to give to the vision you've put in us. And that we won't be afraid to ask for the help, Lord God. We won't be afraid to speak the vision, Lord God. And you will cause them to be funded according to your will and your purpose and your desire and your intent. In the name above every name, the name of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
In this place tonight, we are expecting the awesome power of the Holy Ghost to touch each and every person that's in this room. Reach over and tell somebody that the Holy Ghost is here for you tonight. And all you have to do is receive. Tell them all you have to do is receive. Hallelujah. How many love him with all your heart? There's a little song that says this to the Lord. I love you. If you love him, come on, let's sing that. I love you.
I love you forever with all my heart.
I love you. My shelter.
My shelter.
Forever. Of worship in his presence. And I really believe, as we've already sung tonight, that the Holy Ghost is going to rain on us.